When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." That's our text for this morning's meditation. That's from John chapter 6, verse 14. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what's going on here? What's going on in our text from the Gospel of John, 6th chapter? Here the people, thousands of people, had followed Jesus out into the countryside. Why? Why did they do that? Well, because they saw that he was healing the sick, curing them of their diseases. So they followed him out into the wilderness. And after a while, they were getting hungry. They hadn't eaten for a long time. So Jesus fed them. Jesus fed over 5,000 of them. Fed them with just 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. In fact, Jesus provided so much food for the crowd there that his disciples gathered up leftovers. Leftovers, yeah. 12 baskets full of bread. Now, the people seeing this, they concluded, Jesus must be the prophet. That's what they said. Must be the prophet. What prophet? Who were they talking about? Well, they were talking about the prophet promised by Moses, promised by God to the children of Israel 1,500 years before. We read about that promise in the 5th book of the Bible in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 18. Here's what it says there about the prophet. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brethren. Him you shall heed." That means listen to. "Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord, my God, or see this great fire anymore, lest I die.' And the Lord said to me, 'They have rightly said all that they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not give heed to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him.'" But, God continues, "But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die." So that's Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 20. And it's the promise of the prophet made by Moses, made by God 1,500 years before Jesus was born. Now, the people following Jesus that day, seeing that they had been fed miraculously, concluded that Jesus was in fact that prophet. But then what? Then what? Well, then they came up with this idea. Let's make him king. King. Why king? Moses wasn't a king. Kingship had nothing to do with the promise of the prophet made by God. The promise made by God to the children of Israel at the time of Moses was of one who would speak to them, talk to them, as Moses had. That is, as one who would speak to them for God, speaking with them directly, face to face, with all power and authority and might. By the way, you remember the effect upon Moses, himself, because he did in fact speak with God in such a way on Mount Sinai and then in the tent of meeting regularly. Remember what happened? Because Moses talked to God, his face shined so brightly that for the rest of his life after his encounter on Mount Sinai, Moses had to wear a veil. He had to wear a veil over his face to cover the reflection of the glory of God radiating from it. Now, here's something strange. That veil that Moses wore is kind of what we have in Jesus. In Jesus, we have a covering which veils the glory of God, so that God could speak to us. In Jesus, we have the veil of the human nature, of humanity. Huh? Well, that's who Jesus is, really. Jesus is God himself, the Lord, the Son of God, veiled, covered, even hidden by the human nature which he took on in the womb of Mary just so that he could walk among us and he could talk to us and he could teach us and heal us and most of all, offer himself as a sacrifice to the Father in heaven for us. That is God, the Lord, the Son of God. He took on human flesh just so that he could be able to die, just so that he could offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins and have that sacrifice accepted by the Father on our behalf, so that now believing in Christ is that sacrifice for us. Our sins are forgiven, constantly forgiven, daily forgiven, hourly forgiven, forgiven minute by minute. That's why the Apostle Paul said, We preach Christ and him crucified. In other words, the heart, the center of Christianity is a proclamation of the crucifixion of the Son of God for our sins and thus for our salvation from sin and so our salvation from death. That's why Jesus, knowing that he would rise again from the dead after his crucifixion, this is why he said to Martha, you remember what he said? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Then Jesus said to Martha, do you believe this? That's what Jesus continues to ask to all of us, each and every one of us. Do we believe that he is the resurrection and the life? For if we believe this, if we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, we need not fear death. And if we need not fear death, what can we do? What can we do but help those around us, especially those who know nothing about Jesus? We can help those around us to live through this current pandemic by common sense practices of love and to live forever through the proclamation of Jesus Christ as the Lord over sin, the Lord over death. This is what Jesus said. He said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest for your souls. That's what Jesus taught. In other words, come to me, all who are frightened of dying from contracting this COVID-19, and I will give you peace. Peace of mind, peace in your heart, peace in your soul. How wonderful is this news? Wonderful news. Let's go back to our text. Why did the people think the prophet promised by Moses, promised by God, should be king? Well, in a word, misinformation. That's right, misinformation. Throughout the centuries, that is, from the time of Moses to the time of Jesus, the children of Israel grew to yearn for not so much one who would talk for God, one who would make them right with God through the forgiveness of sins, but one who would make the nation of Israel what it once was, under David and Solomon. As before the Assyrians conquered the northern portion of Israel and took 10 tribes into captivity, never to be seen again. Then the Babylonians conquered Judah, destroying Jerusalem and the temple and taking the remaining Israelites into captivity. Yes, the Persians under Cyrus allowed the Israelites to go back, to return and rebuild Jerusalem 70 years later, and the temple. But then eventually they were overrun by the Greeks and then the Romans, and that's where the situation stood when the Son of God veiled his glory, took on human flesh in Jesus to become God, who could sacrifice himself for us. God who could redeem us from our sins, a God who could raise us to everlasting life. Yeah, who wants that? Jews wanted a king, but an earthly king was not what Moses was, and an earthly king was not what Jesus was. Jesus himself told the Roman governor Pilate exactly that. Remember what he said to Pilate? My kingdom is not of this world. So, misinformation led the people who had been fed by Jesus to think of Jesus in the wrong way. And misinformation about Jesus, about Christianity, you know, it still does the same thing. How many prophets, how many preachers even yet today proclaim that Christianity is all about conquering the world, about becoming wealthy beyond our wildest imaginations? That's simply playing to man's desire for wealth. How many prophets, false prophets, claim that Christianity is all about acceptance, about abandoning the idea of sin altogether and simply embracing all ways of life, all behaviors, all activities? Simply a placating of guilty consciences, playing to man's need for acceptance. How many prophets, false prophets, have proclaimed Christianity to be some sort of political movement, a movement to take over the world? Simply playing to man's quest for worldly power. Many false prophets have gone out into the world, and many continue to spread misinformation. Misinformation about Christianity, misinformation about Christ, and the end result? Well, we all know where misinformation is leading people during this pandemic, don't we? Misinformation is leading to death. It's leading to death. I'm not going to go into detail here, for it seems like every day there's another story, a story leading to this misunderstanding, that practice, this thought, that idea, which is often shown to be simply wrong. The end result is the death of someone infected by the virus. I know. It's a harsh reality, isn't it? But in the same way that misinformation about COVID-19 can be deadly, physically deadly, so misinformation about Jesus can be spiritually deadly. Here, God Himself, our Redeemer, has in His Son spoken to us. God Himself sacrificed Himself for us and continues to send His Spirit to us through His Word. So that as we continue to live in the valley of the shadow of death called our life in these end times, we can continue to live in peace and in hope, even joy, serving one another in love. And instead of embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life, we turn Jesus in our minds into some sort of king, or financial guru, or doting parent, or political advisor. As we turn God's most wonderful gift to us into something which it's not. And then what do? We simply abandon Him. Let's not do that. Let's repent of our sins of doubt, repent of our sins of fear, repent of our sins of not believing what God Himself has told us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, and in faith, embrace it and live now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the Apostles' Creed.